Our scripture reading is from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonia, the southern part of Greece. This is the first book written in the New Testament, sometime in the late 40s or early 50s, so 15 to 20 years after Jesus. So these are the very first words about the Jesus event, the Jesus story. The Gospels were actually written later. So we read today from the second chapter as Paul writes to this church which he established, and he writes a little bit about how his intent as he reached out with the good news of the gospel to the people in Thessalonica. Hear the word of God. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain, that though we had already suffered and been shamelessly mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the messages of the gospel, even so we speak not to please mortals, but to please God, who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or the pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Kathy and I do attend a lot of weddings, and I have to admit, despite my pretend enthusiasm in the children's time, I'm not really very big on the hokey pokey. I think it's sort of like one notch above the chicken dance, you know, that one. So I did get a kick out of the bumper sticker that was out a few years ago. Most of you probably saw it, that said, "What if the hokey pokey is what it's all about?" That's a little funny, but it's also a little scary. A lot of people are saying that today. Some evolutionary biologists and physicists and philosophers say that really science is all we need to explain the way things are. We don't need God to explain anything. I, for one, totally agree that science explains the way things are. And along with people of faith from the Apostle Paul to John Calvin, our Presbyterian founding father, to plenty of other evolutionary biologists and physicists and philosophers, I honor what science teaches us about the world we live in, and I'm fascinated by it. But I do, along with those other colleagues on the faith side of the equation, I do think science doesn't explain why there's something rather than nothing. Science sort of accepts that as a given, but it's not a given. There doesn't have to be anything. In our Sunday school class, we're reading Houston Smith, his book, The Soul of Christianity. Houston Smith is a scholar of world religions. He grew up as a child of missionary parents, but he figured there must be more to faith, more to God than I've learned in my own tradition. I mean, I was just born into it, so there must be more. So he spent his life studying other religions, and now, at the end of a long career, he's coming back and saying, writing a book and talking about what's unique about the faith that he grew up in, what it offers us. And what one thing, a premise he begins with, is that science and scientism, as he calls it, we've gone overboard in our embrace of scientism in our culture today. We've looked to it to provide answers to questions that it does not have. Science fails to address why there is something rather than nothing. And even more, he says, science fails to address our own experience of the mystery of our own lives, of the depth of our own souls, of the sense within us that there must be something more, even if it's something we can't prove. And that's what Paul's talking about with the gospel of God, or what today I am in a slightly irreverent fashion calling the hokey pokey gospel. According to Paul, God is what it's all about. We're not an accident. We're not a random collection of amino acids. We are made by God and made for a higher purpose. We're here because of God. We're here thanks to God. We're here for God and even somehow in God. And that's what it's all about. Now, in those verses that I think are sort of confusing, take a little while to unpack even as you read them, much less hear them. Paul talks about the nature of his apostleship, which is really talking about what kind of a preacher he is and what his motives are and what his motives are not. But then at the very end of all his discussion, he says something that I found quite radical, something I'd never heard before in all my reading of the scripture. He says, "We are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us." We're going to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our very selves, because you are precious to us. As I've been thinking about the hokey pokey, I think that's at the heart of the gospel. You know, I never really thought about the song before, but you know, you put your right arm in, you put your right arm out, then you put your, you know, your feet in, and then your feet out, then you put your backside in, and then you put your head in. And what's the end of it, though? At the end, you put your whole self in. It's only at the end of the song that we realize what it's all about. You put your whole self in. That's what it's all about. God's hokey-pokey gospel asks us to put our whole selves in. Our minds, our hearts, our bodies, our souls, our whole selves. And when we put our whole selves in to almost anything, that's what it's all about. You know, we really already know this. You know, you only get out of something what you put into it. Whether it's training for a marathon, as Tracy Ryan will tell you. Congratulations. Well done, Tracy. Whether it's learning a new skill for your job, whether it's, you know, figuring out how to throw a baseball, whatever it is, it's when you put your whole self into something, that's when you get something out of it. You know, William Sloan Coffin, the preacher, said, "Socrates was wrong. It's not the unexamined life that's not worth living. It's the uncommitted life that's not worth living." It's when we commit ourselves to something, when we put our whole selves in, that's when we find out what it's all about. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, he sums it up. He says, "Well, now faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these, the greatest, is love." Commitment, love. When you're committed, when you love something fully, that's when you're doing the hokey pokey gospel, if you'll forgive the phrase. That's when you're all in. And that's when life really matters. When you put your whole self in, that's where God is. When you put your whole self into developing your abilities, your talents, your gifts, then you're discovering who it is God has made you to be, what is unique and wonderful and special about you. When you discover that, you're where God is. When you give yourself away in service to a cause greater than yourself or to another human being, when you give yourself away in love, you're discovering again who God made you to be, and you are where God is. When you sense a deeper level within yourself, when you're aware of the mystery that comes with just being alive, when you know there must be more, even if you can't even put your finger on it, you can't quite put it into words, that's where God is. This is the season of stewardship, and so we're talking about what we will give to God through the life of the church, our time, our energy, our dollars. We're really talking about the hokey pokey gospel. Do I put my left arm in with my watch on it? Do I put my back pocket in with my wallet in it? Do I put my head in? Do I put a little piece of myself in, but make sure I don't commit my whole self? Or do we put our whole selves in? Do I put our whole lives at God's disposal? If we do, that's when we find out what it's all about. This is a difficult time to ask people to give to the church, to give time or energy, and maybe even especially dollars, because those things are all scarce. We all have other options to do with our time, with our energy, with our wallets. There are a lot of other places that are asking for all those things. But what could be more important right now in a time of fear and anxiety and uncertainty than to give our time and our energy and our dollars to what really matters, to what makes a difference in our lives and the lives of other people? Giving to something that lasts. It's precisely in times like this, for times of fear and anxiety and uncertainty, that it's up to people of faith, as imperfect as our faith may be, to point toward the Lord and the giver of life, to say there's something more, to say there's a power and a presence that will pull us through this difficult time. It's precisely in a time of fear and uncertainty and anxiety that we need to build up a church that has a steeple that points toward the heavens, that says in a quiet but powerful way to anyone who drives by that there's something higher, something, someone greater than ourselves. In a time like this, it's the time to build a church that cares for children, that feeds hungry people, that opens its doors to the homeless, that welcomes those who are sick with cancer and those whose memories are failing. It's a time like this is the time to make beautiful music and to read ancient stories that tell of timeless truths, that promise us that the last word is not despair, but hope. It's not meaninglessness, but purpose. It's not fear. The last word is love. What better way to spend our time and our energy and our dollars than in the service of a gospel that, like the hokey pokey, invites everyone to join in? In the service of a gospel that, like the hokey pokey, asks for our whole selves, but then in return promises hope and comfort and a love that is a love that's not for what we do, but a love for who we are, no matter what. One of the blessings of my job, of my calling, is that I get to hold babies a lot more than the average person. Nick Ortberg is a young man who grew up in our church youth group, and Kathy and I officiated at his wedding a year and a half ago, and now last night, he and his wife, Tiffany, brought by their three-month-old daughter, Aubrey, so we could meet her for the very first time. I got to hold Aubrey for a little while, and I want you to know that I have not forgotten The Rock. I don't think anybody who's ever held a baby has forgotten The Rock. I find myself doing it at the grocery store, holding a carton of milk, and I catch myself hoping that no one has noticed that I'm rocking skim milk in my hands. Anyway, Aubrey, by the grace of God, was very comfortable in my presence, and I just held her for the longest time in my arm, cradling her head in my palm, and she just looked up at me with that wonderful little smiley kind of a face that is probably gas, but I prefer to think has been brought on by my charming countenance. Now, it's practically impossible to hold a baby without sensing something powerful, without sensing something of the mystery of life, something about that which is greater than ourselves. I suppose it is possible to do that and not connect it with God, but it's quite impossible for me not to connect that experience with God. Holding a baby who is created by two people sharing in the most intimate way, holding a baby whose life depends on the love of other people, and not just her parents, but all of us who are creating this world that little Aubrey will grow up in. Well, her very presence there reminds you that love is what it's all about. And after they left, I thought about the sermon, of course. I thought about Paul, who couldn't think about the gospel of God without immediately talking about he also had to share his own self, too. The gospel of God is the sharing of self. The gospel of God is that God shared his own self with us in a baby born in Bethlehem. You can't have the gospel of God without that kind of God's own self being in, all in. I also thought, as I remembered holding Aubrey, little Aubrey, about Rachel Riemann's story in her book Kitchen Table Wisdom. She tells a lot of stories about the healing arts. And she told about Harry, an emergency room doctor who was delivering a baby, as he had hundreds of times before, in the emergency room because the obstetrician wasn't going to make it to the hospital in time. And Harry was holding the baby, much as I held little Aubrey in his forearm with his head, her head in his hand, and he was about to suction the mucus out of her nose when she suddenly opened her eyes and looked directly at him. And in that moment, Harry stepped out of his technical role as doctor and realized a very simple thing, that he was the very first human being this baby girl had ever seen. He felt his heart go out to her in welcome from all the people everywhere, and tears came to his eyes. Rachel writes, Harry has delivered hundreds of babies. He has always enjoyed the challenge of delivery, the competence that comes from being able to bring a life into the world. But he says that he had never let himself experience the meaning of what he was doing until that day. And in a certain sense, this was the first baby he had ever delivered. Harry wonders how many other such moments of connection he has missed. He suspects there may have been many. Think about your own life for a moment. When have you felt profoundly connected to another human being? Maybe someone very close to you, or maybe a chance acquaintance. Perhaps a long time ago, or perhaps today, right next to you in the pew. It's interesting, isn't it, how often these experiences are beyond words, and often how hard it is to talk about them even to those closest to us. But when you experience that connection, that's a gospel moment, a God moment, because you have put your whole self in. Think about your own life for a moment. To what cause, to what service beyond yourself have you been committed? It's not the unexamined life, it's the uncommitted life that's not worth living. For what purpose beyond your own self does your life matter? Whether it's feeding hungry people or taking care of the neighbor next door who will never be able to shovel her driveway, or teaching a kid about life through football, or praying for the people on our prayer chain, lifting them up in your own way when they're in need. When you give yourself away in love for a cause beyond yourself or for another human being, that's a gospel moment. That is a God moment, because you're putting your whole self in. Think about your own life. And in the midst of all the material things that are certainly important in this world, in the midst of all the things you have to do in that great checklist that is daily living, do you sense a deeper truth, a larger reality, the presence of something, of someone more? And in some way, perhaps even beyond words, are you aware that that is what it's all about? That's a gospel moment, a God moment, because you're putting your whole self in. If you're having a hard time thinking of someone to whom you feel profoundly connected, if you're having a hard time thinking of a cause or a person to which you're fiercely committed, if you're having a hard time thinking about a deeper level of living than just going through the motions offers, then maybe you don't have the hokey pokey down yet. Your right arm may be in, your head may be in, your backside may be in, but not your whole self yet. You're missing something. Maybe it's time, for Christ's sake, for the world's sake, for your own sake, to put your whole self in. I guess there's more to the hokey pokey than I thought. Pray with me. Gracious God, it's you and love and commitment. That is what it's all about. In our Savior's name, amen.